introduce a little anarchy. Upset the established order.
Launch control. We are going for launch.
Call to us! rocking and rolling, strutting and strolling, ramming and jamming. You're listening to the Casey Ferguson Show on Emerson Island Radio 92.1 FM. Yes, it's Casey Ferguson here, the Wilford Brimley of Kingston Community Radio, back again with another late night hour of power sure to make Uranus shake and earthquake. One of my former guests, Michelangelo Badio, kicked off the show there. The track is called Call to Arms. A fitting track to be sure, because I am issuing a call to arms to all of you Wildcats. Look, by now most of you know that we've been working our asses off trying to raise the funds necessary to keep this station on the air for another year.
I'm a little short this week. I got my paycheck.
If you're a little short during our annual fundraising drive, don't worry about it. You can donate all year long through our website, cjai.ca. I never asked you for money for the Casey Ferguson Show, be it this radio show or the podcast, and I'm not going to start now, but I will say that if you can spare a couple bucks to keep Amherst Island Radio on the air for another year, I sure would appreciate it. Thank you to everyone who has donated thus far, and thank you to everyone who came out to our annual fundraising concert this year. I had a blast as the event's MC and enjoyed getting to meet some of you maniacs who listen to this fine station. Much obliged, you magnificent mother truckers.
I don't like this program.
Danger Jam.
I have quite a show on tap for all you thirsty rapscallions. My guest on this episode of the Casey Ferguson Show is none other than Grammy Award-winning musician and legendary guitarist Eric Johnson.
Holy smokes.
Being that Eric is my guest, I'm going to spin you some music featuring some guitar players that you absolutely must hear. Some you may know, some you may not.
Heck, I'm curious like a cat. I have a couple of friends that call me Whiskers.
Strings will be bent, amps will be cranked, and faces will be melted. It doesn't get much more face melting than Dragon Force. This is Through the Fire and the Flames on the Casey Ferguson Show.
up? This is Tim from Clutch, and you are listening to the Casey Ferguson Show.
Thank you.
rip and shred. You are listening to The Casey Ferguson Show on Amherst Island Radio 92.1 FM. From the Europe Live album, that was Eric Johnson with Cliffs of Dover. Before that was Tesla, Edison's Medicine, and kicking off that set was Dragon Force through the Fire and the Flames.
Excellent!
My guest on this episode of The Casey Ferguson Show is a Grammy Award-winning musician, a platinum-selling recording artist, and is, as Guitar Player Magazine called him, one of the most respected guitarists on the planet. His music has been featured in video games such as Guitar Hero and Rocksmith, and he's toured with everyone from Steve Vai and Joe Satriani to Zakk Wylde, Buddy Guy, and Kenny Wayne Shepherd. Yes, my guest is legendary guitarist Eric Johnson.
Well, blow me down.
Eric has some upcoming Canadian dates, May 25th through May 28th, with stops in Toronto, Ottawa, and Quebec. Details at ericjohnson.com. This is my conversation with renowned guitarist Eric Johnson on The Casey Ferguson Show. All right, Casey Ferguson here for The Casey Ferguson Show. I have Grammy Award-winning musician and legendary guitarist Eric Johnson on the phone. Welcome to the show, Eric. How are you?
Good, Casey. I'm doing great, man. Thanks.
How's the weather in Austin today?
Oh, it's spring. Everything's starting to get warmer, and Sundays are so beautiful. It's like, why am I inside? You know, you just want to, like, kind of tear the roof off and enjoy the outdoors.
Well, rub it in. We just had snow here the other day in May, and I wish I was kidding.
I blame the government.
So I'd say, Kingston's only a couple hours away from your tour stops in, Toronto and Ottawa and Montreal, so pack a warm jacket.
I guess I'm going to be playing the gig with mittens on.
Yeah, the fans will love that.
I'll constantly be talking on the mic. I'll be, oh, sorry about that. Oh, whoops, missed that one, sorry. Well, I'm wearing mittens. Sorry about that.
Oh, geez, it'd be like one of my shows then. Erica, what's one thing you always pack with you on the road? It's always helpful.
Some guitar to take into the hotel room to practice on.
You do a lot of that, practicing at the hotel?
A little bit in the morning, just kind of trying to brush up on things maybe I'm, working on and stuff like that.
Gotcha. Now, Eric, at the risk of sounding like an ass kisser here, one of the things I love about you is that, when you're dealt adversity, you always seem to come back better and stronger. Like, for instance, even though your album Tones was nominated for a Grammy, Warner Brothers let your contract run out and released you, but, you answered back by signing the Capitol, you released a platinum album and took home a Grammy that time out. So, are you like myself, like the I'll show you type?
Yeah, I think you have to be. You have to be stalwart. You have to believe in plan B and plan C. You have to tap into that nerve center, that energy point inside yourself that gives you the love of what you do and the passion. And people respond to that. They'll respond to good music or good art, but they'll much more respond to good music and good art that's being generated from somebody that's turned on to what they do and their passion. And that spark, that flame, it never goes away. And that's really what we want and what feeds us and what people respond to. And if you're there, then you're getting what you need no matter what. And I think if, now that I'm older, you have to kind of laugh at the whole thing a little bit. I mean, the same people that put the red carpet out for me gave me the boot to kick me out the door.
Yeah, pulled it out from underneath you, yeah. But,
yeah, the same people that are adulating you are the ones that are, like, closing the door on you or walking away, and it's, you have to kind of laugh at it. It's kind of an illusion, really. I mean, it's very fickle, and the polarity of putting the word music or art or ballet or something with the word business, it's like crazy. So if you keep that spark, you keep your thing going and you're turned on and you're pursuing stuff that makes you happy, I really feel there's a correlation between that and the potential of there being a plan B or plan C. And my whole life has been about that. I mean, as with anybody else, I'm certainly no exception to the rule, but I've been turned down by everybody. I've been told no by everybody. And then some of those people say yes later for a while, and they say no again, spark, you just go, hey, what? It's okay. I'll find plan B. I'll find somehow whatever it takes. And there always is another way. And I think that's the best way because it keeps you in enjoying what you do. And otherwise, if it's contingent on that plan A, it's just not going to work.
You know what we say at the bank?
When opportunity knocks, that's us foreclosing.
Well, I mean, you have to be resourceful and resilient when it comes to the music business, right? I mean, just to deal with the art versus commerce side of things, it's just, it's crazy how much you have to be able to bounce back.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then, you know, a lot of people, a lot of great musicians, they'll go through periods where maybe it's not quite working, or maybe they're just not, they're not inspired to where maybe what they're doing isn't quite as good as what they were doing, you know? And so sometimes there's a reason for people having a less of a response, but sometimes it's just like Frank Sinatra. He got dropped from Capitol. It's like, go figure. I mean, he was one of the great 20th century singers, and he went through a period in the early 50s where, okay, you're done, and well, you know, we will see you later. It's like, what? You know, Miles Davis had to get noticed in Europe, and Louis Armstrong had to, Jimi Hendrix did, and all these people. I mean, the list goes on and on. So yeah, you just gotta believe in what you do and enjoy the fact that if you really do it well, then, you know, turn people on, you know, because that's what you're doing it for. You're doing it to try to make people feel good or feel happy or feel joy or whatever, and so that other part will come in its own accord, however it might, you know, to make things keep going.
Well, and I kind of think that, you know, if you don't have one, you know, the passion, then really, what's the point on doing the other, you know, and making a record? Because what are you putting out there at that point?
Right. Yeah. It's just something to ear gawking, you know, just go, wow, that was cool, you know, but maybe it doesn't affect the heart.
Well, I mean, I'll be honest, like the reason that I started this show in part was because I was walking away from music, you know. I was at a point where, you know, the passion just wasn't there anymore towards the end, and I'm not saying that I'm, you know, never going to do it again or anything like that, but I had to find something else to do. You know, I would make that decision 100 times over. I would rather, you know, be doing this show and be doing something I'm passionate about than, you know, go out there and, you know, people see right through that. You get up on stage and you don't want to be there or whatever. I mean, it would be a complete waste of everyone's time, right?
Absolutely.
Crisis has been averted. Everything is super.
Obviously, you've got a lot of signature gear, but to have both a signature Strat and a signature Martin is quite an accomplishment. What did those mean to you? Outstanding.
Yeah, so that was a real special gift that I got to be able to do that.
Nailed it!
I mean, you're obviously, you know, associated so much with Strats, but I'm sure it would be shocking to some that you actually cut Cliffs of Dover on a Gibson 335, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Well, I'll be jiggered.
You go to the semi-hollows a lot in the studio, though, don't you? What is it about the semi-hollows that you like so much?
There's kind of a resonation thing that kind of happens that kind of like gives something back as you're playing it. That's really, I really like that about it.
Yeah, a little hard to use live though.
Sometimes, yeah. Sometimes.
Just with the feedback and
exactly.
You write on piano a lot, correct?
I do. Uh-huh.
I've always found that with picking up a different instrument. You know, I mean, I played a bit of bass, a bit of keys, and this or that, as well as being a guitar player and vocalist. And, you know, I certainly found that, you know, just picking up a different instrument would change the things I would write a lot. Are you finding that with writing on piano?
Definitely. And it's kind of like what you're saying, you know, it's like it can give you a different perspective that can kind of give you another passion, another, oh, wow, this is new, something new to chase and delve into to figure something else out. So it can be real helpful in that way, too.
Well, yeah, you get a little bored with the guitar sometimes, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I think that happens to everybody. I mean, I can certainly speak from, you know, my own writing and, you know, this or that, but sometimes, you know, the spark that I needed was just picking up a bass or something just to, you know, approach a groove a different way. Eric, you know, you're a self-described perfectionist, but the last few records you seem to really, be going for it more, relying more on spontaneity. Do you still struggle with that perfectionism? Like, is it hard to get out of your own way still?
Yeah, it is for me, because I'll listen to all my heroes, and they're beautiful playing. Like, oh, I want to play like that. I want to catch that. So you set this watermark and then trying to always hit that. But, you know, the best antidote to promote doing that is to get out of the way of yourself. The more you get out of the way of yourself, the more you really strengthen that potential to do that very thing.
Well, it's funny because I was listening to an interview the other day with Don Coscarelli, who's like a horror filmmaker. And, you know, he was saying, like, if he watches his movies, that, you know, all he sees are the mistakes. And it's kind of funny that, you know, it's the same thing with a lot of musicians, you know, they don't like to listen to their own stuff or hear live takes back. And I know you've commented on this before, you know, because all you hear are the mistakes.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
No!
You've done several of these Experience Hendrix tours now. Somebody I got to bring up is Brad Whitford. I mean, how underrated is that guy?
He's great. Yeah, he's really great. He's really a lot of the backbone of our whole Aerosmith sound.
Yeah, I think, you know, just because he's been beside Joe Perry all these years, most people don't realize how great of a guitar player that guy really is.
Right, yeah, exactly, yeah. He's and he gets such a beautiful sound. He's got a whole thing going on. It's very indispensable.
Now, I take it the vibe on the Experience Hendrix tours must have been similar to, like, the G3 tours with Steve Vai and Satch and the Boys?
Yeah, it's kind of a it's a great kind of very friendly, familial type thing. I mean, we've done it. I don't do it every time, but it's been done so many times that we're all, you know, very comfortable friends and stuff. It's cool.
A lot of jamming backstage on stuff like that?
Sometimes, yeah.
Oh, man, to be a fly on the wall.
Yeah, no, it's great.
He's a peeping Tom.
Lastly, Eric, another guy who was on the Experience Hendrix tour with you last year was Johnny Lang, who I think is just, you know, a hell of a talent. And I know you guys worked together on the Up Close album. By any chance, you know, will we possibly hear more of the two of you together? Because I think the musical counterpoint there worked really well.
Yeah, I enjoyed it a lot. I don't know. I'd certainly be into it if it ever happened. It would be a wonderful opportunity. He's a very fine musician.
Oh, I mean, what a voice. I mean, yeah, he puts out Lie to Me. He's like, what, 15 at the time? It's like, who sounds like that at 15? Just unbelievable, man. Well, Eric, thanks so much for your time, man. You know, glad to have you coming back to Canada, and don't forget to pack that jacket.
All right. Sounds good, Casey. Thanks for doing this, man.
Glad to have you, man. Come back anytime.
All right. Great, man. We'll talk to you soon then, okay?
All right. Cheers.
Okay. Bye.
Part talk show, part rock show. You are listening to The Casey Ferguson Show on Emerson Island Radio 92.1 FM.
You know, I thought it was something good, but it's not.
That was my conversation with Grammy Award-winning musician and legendary guitarist Eric Johnson. As I mentioned earlier, Eric has some upcoming Canadian dates, May 25th through May 28th, with stops in Toronto, Ottawa, and Quebec. For more details and ticket information, hit ericjohnson.com. Now here's a story for all you pickers out there. The article comes from Men's Fitness magazine, and the headline reads, "Science says booger eating and nose picking is healthy."
Found a moon rock in my nose.
Most people would agree that nose picking is a bad habit and eating boogers is unfathomable. Well, now you should think of it as a form of guilty pleasure. Why? According to a scientific study from the American Society of Microbiology and a report from KidSpot, picking your nose and eating boogies is healthy for all people. Apparently, snot contains salivary mucins that help form barriers against cavity-causing bacteria. In another study from Biomed Central, evidence supports that eating your snot can actually strengthen your immune system and defend against HIV. I'm not picking my nose. I'm defending myself from HIV. That's a big concern around here as a podcaster and community radio broadcaster, you know. What with all the sex I'm not having. Wonder if picking my ass will stave off the clap.
I think I found the remote.
Austrian lung specialist Professor Friedrich Bissinger says eating the dry remains of what you pull out of your nose is a great way of strengthening the body's immune system. Medically, it makes great sense and is a perfectly natural thing to do. Bissinger also believes that people who pick their nose are healthier, happier, and better in tune with their bodies than others. Well, I'd say you probably would have more time to get in touch with your own body when no one else is going to touch you. Bissinger says we should get rid of the negative social stigma, and in fact, he believes nose picking should be encouraged. Now, excuse me while I go dig for some gold. This is Eric Johnson with Desert Rose on The Casey Ferguson Show.
Desert rose dances in heat of the sky. I must spend my life upon that falls through my dreams. Aaron is the dust underneath me. Something far away, I'm a barge, so it seems. What I long to see, or could be I be?
Count Lyle from Ghoultown coming at you from the black heart of Texas. You're listening to the Casey Ferguson Show.
Never leave.
This is former WWE referee Jimmy Corderas, and if you don't listen to the Casey Ferguson Show, you will be disqualified.
He made his own decisions. He made his own stakes. Digging in a hole, he found what it was made. He finally got his heart back, yeah. The one thing he needs. Walking on the clouds, he fell to his knees. Singing, hey, let's save my soul, 'cause I will sin before I get home. Someone stole his heart again, and he fell to his knees.
And grinning, synonym winning. You are listening to the Casey Ferguson Show on Amherst Island Radio 92.1 FM. That was Ray Gower and Save My Soul. Johnny Lang in there as well with Lie to Me, and at the top of the set was Eric Johnson with Desert Rose. Would you believe that the last two songs you heard were recorded by artists just 15 years of age at the time? It's the truth. My fellow guitarists, if that doesn't send you to the woodshed, something's wrong. In fact, it's about quitting time, so I think maybe I'll pick up a guitar myself. Before I get canoodling away at my git fiddle, however, I'd like to thank the exclusive sponsor of the Casey Ferguson Show here on 92.1, Overtime Sports Bar, located at 1677 Bath Road in Kingston. Lots of great shows coming up at Overtime over the next few months, so be sure to check out their website, overtimekingston.com, to stay up to date. Overtime also hosts charity events, team parties, and all kinds of other goings-on, so feel free to give them a holler if you'd like to set something up. 613-634-7776. Time for me to do some panty peeling and decibel dealing. Ethan Brosh will play us out with a track called The Hitman. Remember, it's only an island if you look at it from the water. Until next time, this is Casey Ferguson, over and out.
for a game of Yahtzee.